Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use this special form of a workout called a Rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's five-minute workout just three times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office, my cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. Carolbike.com. I get laughed at. Maybe because it's a little bit woo-woo, esoteric, invisible, whatever. But I use quantum energy. I pray over my food when I eat. I try and emanate positive emotions and feelings towards people. I do like little breath work and Tibetan longevity exercise moves to charge up my body with invisible energy. And yes, I even blast my home and my body with certain quantum energy products like necklaces and little boxes that I can use to charge up food. And I get this all from this company called Lila Q. Now, I realize that some quantum energy stuff is not provable by science, but Lila does have third-party studies revealing a remarkable 20 to 30% increase in ATP production, a vital process for cells. Quantum energy has over 59 studies already done and counting. These are randomized double-blind studies these folks are doing for blood quality and HRV optimization. I can't explain it, okay? I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I can explain how quantum energy would increase blood energy or blood quality. Could be placebo. I don't know. But all I can tell you is I wear their necklace. I use their products. I blast my home with their energy. And it's called Lila Q. I've got a podcast with them, a few, if you want to take a deeper dive. But you just go to the website. Check it out. It's kind of fun to surf around. And you know what? If anything, you're going to have some cool-looking conversation products at your house and hanging around your neck. I love them. Lila Q, LEELAQ.com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. Lila Q. .com. Use code BEN10 for 10% off. Hey, you want to spice things up in the bedroom and boost your sexual performance and do it naturally without nasty prescription drugs? You got to check out this stuff, Joy Mode. It's a powder. You can put it in water, or if you're like me and you're a savage, you can dry powder into your mouth. Contains clinically supported doses of L-citrulline, arginine, yohimbine, and vitamin C. So after taking this stuff called their Sexual Performance Booster, again, by Joy Mode, your blood levels of arginine and yohimbine increase, and that directly promotes nitric oxide production, penile tissue relaxation, and increased drive. Well, the antioxidant action of vitamin C protects the nitric oxide from oxidative degradation, which then enhances the blood flow promoting activity of the nitric oxide. They thought of everything. They're super smart over at Joy Mode, and collectively these effects enhance sex drive and blood flow naturally to the penis or to the clitoris. My wife takes it too. It's amazing. You get better orgasms, better blood flow. You can kiss nasty prescription medications goodbye and have natural guilt-free energy for boosting your sexual performance. You can get 20% off your first order from Joy Mode. How? Go to usejoymode.com/greenfield. That's usejoymode.com/greenfield. J-O-Y. Usejoymode.com/greenfield. That'll give you 20% off your first order.
Welcome to the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast. We provide you with everything you need to know for total performance, fat loss, recovery, digestion, sleep, brain, and hormone optimization. So whether you're an Ironman triathlete or you just want to shed a few pounds, get ready for non-run-of-the-mill cutting-edge content from BenGreenfieldFitness.com.
Hey folks, it's Ben Greenfield, and welcome to part two of our very special podcast series with my mentor, Ty Lopez.
Now, if you haven't yet discovered Ty, I'd recommend that you go back and listen to the first podcast episode that we did with Ty. And it's really not the first ever podcast episode that we did with him, but it's the first part of this series that I'm doing with Ty, where you get to sit back and hear as Ty mentors me in my business and my life, and you get to basically be the fly in the wall as that happens. So part one of this series, you can go listen to it at bengreenfieldfitness.com/Ty1. And in that first podcast, Ty and I talked about things like how to stop multitasking, how to reprogram your genetics by doing things like reframing the way that you view the use of your phone, by checking your email less, and by basically increasing productivity by embracing the chaos of getting less involved with things like emails and your phone. We talked about a lot of different books as well that I also had in the show notes of that episode. So again, all that is at bengreenfieldfitness.com/Ty1, along with a link to Ty's online video series called 67 Steps to Getting Anything You Want Out of Life, Health, Wealth, Love, and Happiness. And today, if you want resources for anything that Ty and I talk about, you can go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/Ty2. That's T-A-I, Ty2. And you can get resources for what we talk about today. And you're about to hear what we're going to talk about today. So, Ty, thanks for coming on once again.
Thanks for having me. I always like talking to you, Ben.
Yeah, and it was kind of funny because last time it was about a month ago or so when we did our first mentorship podcast, and you told me that I just needed to ditch my phone and kind of get rid of it for a while and do what you called embracing the chaos, like get used to just not being connected, get used to not checking your email frequently. And that night, actually, I lost my phone. Just completely lost it. It was totally serendipitous, but yeah. So I got forced from the frying pan right into the fire, but ended up being really weird because when I actually got my phone, it took about 2 days or so to get my phone back. It's like the world hadn't ended. There really wasn't that much that I had to do aside from be able to use all the free time that I got by not having my phone around for a while. So it actually turned out to be a good thing. And, you know, the other thing that I've been doing quite a bit more of since we last talked is really getting into this concept of not feeling bad about just ignoring emails for long periods of time. You know, with the caveat to that I have like one folder that all of my important VIP clients' emails get poured into. And right. I check that one folder. But other than that, I can ignore everything else, and sometimes I'll do so for, you know, 1 to 2 days. And again, it turns out to be just fine and nothing blows up. So
that's my, yeah, I wanted to ask you, I was like, how's it going since the last one? So you answered that. So feeling good about it. And it, you know, life's all about experimentation. So every person ends up tweaking, like Freud says in Civilization and Its Discontents, when he talks about happiness, you know, he gives like 9 factors that people use to try to find happiness. And he says at the end, or kind of his conclusion, it's just an essay, he says, each of us has a different constitution, so you have to find your mix. So as you're doing this, as you experiment, which sounds like you're doing well, you end up coming to equilibrium at some point and going, okay, here's the happy medium that seems to work for the environment I'm in now. So you feel like you're kind of getting closer to that?
Yeah, I do. And it's nice because it's just that much more time that I have to chill. You know, like my kids now are going to school. I homeschooled them up until this year, and now they're going to this little private school, and they get home from school now at 3:50 in the afternoon. So it's always my goal now to just have nothing to do at 3:50 in the afternoon, aside from just open the door to my kids. And it's just, you know, like yesterday actually it was kind of fun. We went hunting for a couple hours in the backyard, and you know, we didn't actually find anything or shoot anything, but it was fun to just have that time to just walk around in the forest for 2 hours and be thinking about nothing but showing my kids how to explore and how to track game and just be in nature.
Awesome. Well, that's awesome, man. So what else? What new things have popped into your head over the last 30 days?
Well, I've got one thing that I want to talk to you about. And it might almost be more of a philosophical question, but one of the few TV shows that I watch is Shark Tank on Hulu. Actually, I have this giant TV in my house. It's like this super fancy, like 3D TV. And I've never actually used it. I don't know how to use it. It's not hooked up. Like, I don't have TV reception. So, anyways, though, I do watch Hulu sometimes on my little 13-inch laptop screen, and I like to watch Shark Tank, where these people come in and they pitch their business ideas and ask for venture capital from, you know, a bunch of different sharks like Mark Cuban and some of these other folks. And one thing that I've been thinking about as I watch that show is a lot of these folks are coming in, and many of them are very successful, right? They're pulling in up to several $1 million each month. They seem very happy, fulfilled, but they want to go from like 7 figures to 8 figures or 8 figures to 9 figures. And what I've been thinking about when I watch that, and also when I take part in some discussions in some of the entrepreneurial circles that I'm a member of, is when do you say I'm good? Like, you know, when do you say I'm as big as I want to be, and maybe money and growth and going public and going from, you know, making the amount of money that allows you to have what you want in life versus an amount of money that is some, you know, big figure on paper. You know, when do you say that you found that ideal balance, or when do you strike the ideal balance between making money and then just, you know, saying, okay, I'm good, and sitting back and living life? And one of the main things I've struggled with is, you know, is one of the main reasons for making more money so that you can make a bigger difference in the world? And, you know, where do you stop between making a bigger difference in the world and just being happy and living life and relaxing and, you know, walking around with your kids in the forest? So that's a big philosophical question I've kind of been dealing with lately.
Well, I think there, you know, whenever I bump into questions like that in my own brain, the way I start with it, that kind of frees me up, I think, to find the answer for myself, is knowing that there's no black and white. I call that, you know, in the 67 steps, I call that the medieval mind that most of us have unknowingly grown up around. And it's basically, you know, 1500s. If you said the world was round, not flat, or that the earth wasn't the center of the universe, you know, you might be burned at the stake. So back then, everything was very black and white. It was like, no, you know, the earth is the center of the universe, is what we believe. And any contrary advice, you know, gets you burned as a heretic. And although that doesn't happen anymore, per se, that methodology of thinking has still lingered into our brains, even now in, you know, the 21st century. So the first step that frees you up to getting an answer is to go, there really isn't an answer. And when you talk, if you sit down at a dinner table and ask this, you're going to get people on both sides very adamant, like, oh yeah. And they're both going to be able to make compelling cases. And the answer, I think, is like Will Durant, the Pulitzer Prize winning historian, when he talks about the great philosophers, he says, everything is thesis on the left side. On the right side, if you put it up your left hand, it's like thesis. On the right side is antithesis, the antithesis. And you got to find the synthesis that's in the middle. And it doesn't necessarily always mean literally in the middle. It's just saying the blend. So I was reading Bob Marley, a book on him. When he died, he died of cancer. He got cancer in his toe, and it spread. And, you know, he's the great musician, the reggae artist. And he was with his son, was holding his hand in the hospital room, and his last words to his son were, money can't buy you life. And so at one level, you have that way of seeing life. Like, at the end of the day, money can't buy you life. So that's the thesis. That's the one side. The people that will argue that you must go beyond money and you just have to live and enough is enough. But there's also the other side, which is like Jeff Bezos says, we are here to get things done. One of the most innate human attributes that you'll see in even the smallest child, if you give them blocks, Legos, if you lay Legos on the ground to a very young child, 2 years old, they'll start to put them together and build because that is your humanness. So on the other side, kind of like the Bible says, if you're, you know, Christian or religious or Jewish, it says man's here to, you know, by the sweat of your brow, you will get things done. And that we are, your purpose is to get things done. And even if you're an atheist, it's the same evolution. You see that drive in humans. So I think at some place, whether, you know, if someone's listening to this and they're making $1,000 a month or $1 million a month, what the better way that I like to look at it is, what it John Wooden, if you haven't read any John Wooden, he's the great UCLA basketball coach, the most winning coach in college basketball history in the U.S. He has a triangle, a pyramid of virtues and character traits that he would teach. And one of the most important ones, he said, is ambition. You have to have ambition. That he considered that. But it had to be kept in check by the other character traits like teamwork and so on and so forth. So, you know, honesty and all those things. So I think and he also said, you know, God only made one Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the great basketball player. Mm-hmm. And I think to me, it's fine to be ambitious. One of the issues, I would say, as you come with this left-hand side, right-hand side, and trying to find the balance for yourself, is that we're bombarded by the media with images, even if you don't watch TV, mm-hmm. but just culture, with images of people who are different than us, yet subconsciously we feel we have to become them. And John Wooden, like he said, God only made one Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He was 7'2". Graceful basketball player. You and I, Ben, we're not going to be Kareem. So when we see Kareem in the media, we can very easily become dissatisfied with our life, no matter how hard we try to be ambitious, because we can't be him. So John Wooden said, you know, you're in a competition with yourself. And so that's, to me, the middle ground where you go, what's the natural aptitude I have? And one of the things in the 67 steps, the most important one for those listening who may be in it, is the one where I talk on Eulerian business destiny. So it's a concept of, you have to find out what the max you can hit mm-hmm. with the given circumstance, and then you go for broke for that, while at the same time maintaining the four pillars. So that's kind of a litmus test for me too. If you start violating some of the four pillars, health, wealth, love, and happiness, or some of the other three, I should say, health, love, and happiness, just to get wealth. You can do that for a short stretch, but if it starts becoming prolonged, then I think you have to check yourself. As the hip-hop saying goes, you know, you got to check yourself before you wreck yourself. If you start completely, you know, for a week or something, you're working really hard, staying up late to get something launched for business. But if that week turns into a month, turns into a year, and you start degrading your health, then it's a little bit like Bob Marley said, money can't buy you life. Like you can't sacrifice health for that.
When you lived, for example, with the Amish, you know, they obviously live a relatively simple life. But I think from what I've heard you say in the past, they actually do pretty well for themselves financially while still living this simple life. And they're obviously not lazy, you know, and I know that they're very productive people. Did you find that they were motivated by money and growing their enterprise and, you know, growing their legacy or whatever, or did they seem to be motivated by other things? Was it just like a built-in work ethic where you get out of bed and it's just like, I'm going to work just because work feels good? Or was that kind of based off of wanting to make more money and to build up the bank account?
Well, so that's an interesting question. So with the Amish, you have a combination of very German work ethic, and Germans still, you know, my grandma's from Berlin, and I'm a half German. And if I was just actually in Germany last month, I met a guy at the Berkshire Hathaway meeting who turned out to be one of the wealthiest men in Europe. I didn't know, a real humble guy. I said, "Oh, come talk to my company. I'll fly you to Germany." And so I flew there last month, and turns out this guy, you know, I didn't realize, if Wikipedia, he's this huge mogul in Europe, and had me, you know, has 500 employees and has me speak to all his executives. And I was like, wow, this guy is humble, so humble. I didn't realize who he was. But at the same time, I said, "When did you start your business?" He owns some of the biggest publishing companies in Europe. And he said, 12. And he was German. I mean, this guy's probably 65 or 70. And had that German work ethic on time, you know. And so the Amish retain that. And at the same time, they're deeply religious Christian. And so they strongly believe in that, in the Old Testament, you know, man will live by the sweat of his brow. And, you know, some of the New Testament stuff talks about these things. And so they are not money motivated per se. The way I look at it, and I think this applies to the Amish and non-Amish. I'm trademarking this personality typing system I teach business guys how to close sales and get more customers. And so it's called PACE, P-A-S-E. So practical, action, social, and emotional. And each of us have a component, but usually have one dominant. So practical people generally are much more motivated by money. So that's a P. A, people, action. They're motivated by the newness of doing new things in entrepreneurial ventures, by activity. Social people are motivated by interactions, just not because they want an outcome. They just like interacting with other people. And then E, emotional people are often, you know, driven by feelings and so on. So within even the Amish, you'll see the P, practical people, without coming out and saying it, they are probably more motivated by monetary gain. And yeah, there's lots of millionaires. The thing about the Amish that's nice, that's very interesting and applicable to you and I in the modern world, is basically nobody really ever sacrifices the other things to get money. That's very looked down upon as a society. If you're a young boy and you're too money hungry, you know, no girl's going to want to marry you. And that's one of the best motivations for, you know, if you look at how society motivates males, it's primarily about what women want. So if you are made fun of or shunned in terms of no one wants to marry you, you won't do that activity anymore. So you're definitely, they don't sacrifice their social life. They don't sacrifice their spirituality to get money, because they'll be kept in check by social norms. So in the modern world, you and I, because we live in like this non-homogenous society where it's just like, do whatever you want. You could easily get out of line and nobody's going to stop you. Like if you right now just were like, forget it, I don't care, my kids come home, I'm going to put them in daycare, and you know, they don't see me, I see them at 9 o'clock and I'm doing emails. So if that was what, Ben, you wanted to do, no one societally, you'll be able to find a group of society that encourages that activity. So that's what makes modern life much harder, in that no matter how crazy your life becomes, no matter how dysfunctional it becomes, you'll find some segment of society that will back you. Whereas at the Amish, it's not. If you start getting just pure money hungry and screwing people over in business deals, and you know, sacrificing not coming to church for them is a big thing, like, you would pretty much have so much social pressure on you that you'd come snap back to reality.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That's why I say for you and for everybody, for me, you have to find a group of people that will be able to, you know, tap you on the shoulder and be like, "Hey, man, this isn't you. Snap back. Mm-hmm. Get back to it." If you don't have that, the humans are ambitious by DNA, man. We're ruthless by DNA. And I, like Will Durant says, you know, you and I are here on an evolutionary basis because our parents were a good blend, and your grandparents and great-great-grandparents were the blend of altruism, caring about others, and ruthlessness, caring about themselves. I still think you have to strike that balance.
So if you could think of people, like examples of people that you know of, well-known people who you think strike that good balance. You know, if I wanted to go watch what they were doing, maybe read their biography. If they have a biography, you know, read their blog, whatever. People who you think strike a good balance between doing well for themselves from an income standpoint, right? Like making enough money to not only live really comfortably, but also be able to maybe give money to charity, help other people out, that type of thing. But who also seem to be living life to the fullest, right? Like not just making money, but also going on adventures and exploring and you know, having time for their family and enjoying things in life that go above and beyond just the, you know, the ultimate goal of making more money. Are there any people that come to mind for you as folks who you would say kind of strike that ideal balance?
Well, you know, my first mentor, Joel Salatin, I would say he's about as king of pulling off the good life that I've ever met.
Has he ever written a book about his story? Like, I know he's got lots of practical, like, you know, how to make chicken coops or whatever. But I mean, yeah. But does he actually have a story, like his story, written anywhere?
He has 10 books he's done. Some of them are philosophy. Some of them are, like you said, how to. I'm not sure if there's one just on his life. What I did do recently, so I launched this new series called Millionaire Mentor Interviews. Obviously a business-oriented one, but it's about mentors that I've had and that I, you know, people that are friends and advisors. And the first one I did, when I just released this, launched this month, and the first thing I did was sit down. Joel Salatin was out at my house. He was doing the Joe Rogan podcast, and then he went up to Berkeley with Michael Pollan, Omnivore's Dilemma author. And so Joel was here and he stopped in my house and I recorded like 2.5 hours. And in that I talk about, you know, I'm his first person he ever mentored, his first apprentice besides his own son, who was 12 when I went there, but I was like 18. And so that is probably a good glimpse into Joel, that interview.
Where do you find that?
So it's on my, if people are on my, you know, on tylopez.com on the list. Yeah, I'll give you a link. That's probably the best way because it's just in pre-release now. It's called the Millionaire Mentor Interview Series.
So
I'll give you, I'm not sure where it is.
Yeah, I'll send you a link. In the show notes. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
It's really cool. But so Joel is the epitome of, so if you, let's just take the four pillars. So health. Joel not only is a very healthy guy. I mean, he's getting older now, but Joel is one strong dude. I will tell you this, a man you would not want to wrestle with. Joel is one of the strongest guys I've ever been around. Just pure strength. Farmer since he was
farm boy strong.
Yeah, it's funny. His son Daniel is also super strong. And one of my brothers was an MMA fighter, professional fighter, and came to visit on Joel Salatin's farm, and somehow he decided to wrestle Daniel. And Daniel was like 5 years younger. And I remember Daniel picked him up, and my brother is not small, picked him up like a toy and tossed him. And my brother was like, uh-oh, this guy's strong, Ty. He was like 16 and picked up, you know, 180-pound man and just tossed him. So Joel definitely has health. And in addition to his own physical health, he's in the health space in terms of, you know, him and Alan Nation really pioneered grass-fed at that movement, even though now you have the Joe Robinsons and the Sally Fallons and all that. But the guys that were pushing it back in the 70s, that was Joel Salatin and Alan Nation. So not only is he healthy himself, but he is, you know, in that space and spreading health around the world. Wealth. Joel is a multimillionaire now. You know, but that was never his aspiration. It just came. It's kind of like the Amish, but he's definitely has wealth. Love. You know, he married his high school sweetheart. They got married, you know, right out of while they were in college.
Mm-hmm.
I think he only dated, that was the only woman, you know, they both only dated each other. So he has love there. Joel always told me a good sign, a good test of how well you've done as a parent is whether your kids want to stick around once they get older. Because a lot of kids just leave, right? That means they didn't have much effect. Now, not that that's the ultimate test, but for Joel, his son, has stayed on and pretty much now runs the businesses and lives, has a house basically on the farm about a half mile from Joel, and his daughter, Rachel, still in their life. And now Joel has grandkids. He told me, you know, one of my dreams was always to have my farm and my business and my family and my kids running around my feet. And all the and my grandkids running around my feet. And that for sure, if you want to be happy, as I say, nature laughs last. If you try to break that rule of the human brain, one of the great purposes for humans is to have great grandchildren. Whether you're religious or an atheist, you would both agree on that. And so he has that pillar, the third pillar, and then the fourth pillar, fulfillment, happiness, working for a goal larger than yourself. So Joel, Charlie Munger, the billionaire, says the earned respect of your peers is one of the sweetest feelings of fulfillment you'll ever have. And Joel has the respect. I mean, I've never, you know, I've not met many people who have a more strong group of people interested in them. And he has, you know, Joel's here in my house. He's almost, I think he's almost 60.
Wow.
He said, Ty, and you'll see it in this interview. He goes, Ty, I don't know how people sleep for all the opportunity in the world. So he's tap dancing to work. He's a religious guy. He's Christian. So he has his faith. He has his family. He has his grandkids. He has a thriving business. He has the respect of his peers. He has real wealth, not just, you know, he's wealthy in that sense, but lives very, you know, he drives the same car. He told me he bought a car for the first time in his life, probably bought a $3,000 car. He probably drove $5,000. So his mother, who's like 95, lives on the farm there. So what? At the end of the day, what else do you want? He pretty much pulled off the hat trick. That's the hat trick, all four, you know. And there are other people like that. And you can, you know, Warren Buffett, you know, his love life, I think his love was a little more complicated. Not that I can judge and say, oh, he did right. But, you know, I think by his own admission, he had some real painful points. But Warren Buffett's done a lot of things right. His son is his right-hand man at Berkshire Hathaway. So he's done that. And he has the earned respect, and he certainly has wealth. And he's a pretty healthy guy, even though he doesn't eat that well, but he's doing something right. You know, he owns 10% of Coca-Cola, so I think he drinks Coca-Cola partly just to show it off. And, you know, he's not like Joel Salatin necessarily doing as good for the world and health, but he's pulling off. Richard Branson, I think. You know,
what's up? What's the best Warren Buffett to like hear his life story? Is there a book, like a biography of Warren Buffett?
If you go on my book list,
okay.
And also there's another good book that I have on my, if you go to tylopez.com/books, or you can put a link on your site to my books thing. I have one called A Few Lessons for Investors and Managers by Peter Bevelin, and it's quotes of Warren Buffett. He's never written a book, and it is a tremendous, I mean, anybody who ever, just ask yourself this test, will you ever need money? If the answer is yes, then you must read this book. It is one of the great books on wealth and money and how to make money. And it's sound, it's solid. I mean,
which one is that?
It's called A Few Lessons for Managers and Investors by Peter Bevelin. It's basically a compilation of Warren Buffett's words on money, because he mostly does speeches and does like newsletters.
Right.
So it's tremendously powerful. So, you know, a lot of these guys.
I'll find these books for those of you listening in and get a link for you in the show notes. I actually read Seeking Wisdom, and I own Seeking Wisdom by Peter Bevelin. Fantastic book. I didn't know he had any other books, but Seeking Wisdom is like one of my favorite books. It's right on my bookshelf over here. And it's called Seeking Wisdom from Darwin to Munger. And I didn't know he had another book, but it's called A Few Lessons for Investors and Managers from Warren Buffett.
It's better than the wisdom one, in my opinion. Cool. It's more honed into finance. But, you know, one of the quick the tests that I look for, okay, because you're asking this question, and there's celebrity, or I think Richard Branson, some of these guys, I think the way to test, because you'll find people that are also unknown that are passing these tests, is the tap dance to work test. So you got to ask yourself, Ben, every morning when I wake up, is there an energy level there that's not artificial? It's not coming from coffee, even though there's nothing necessarily wrong with coffee. It's not coming from delusion. It's not coming from just some false ambition goal that you set in front of yourself, but it's a genuine tap dancing out of bed. And the interesting thing, and this is controversial that I'll say this, I see this along a broad spectrum of people, even people that maybe you wouldn't want to be. Maybe you don't look up to, let's say, Hugh Hefner. You know, he's a very controversial person, certainly not a role model for a lot of people. But there's a twinkle in people's eye that I see in Joel Salatin. I see it in the Warren Buffetts. And you see it even in people that I said, you know, maybe you would think, wow, that guy shouldn't have it. He's money hungry, or he's, you know, going after, you know, shallow things like Hugh Hefner. So I think I see it in some athletes, and you don't see it in others. Yeah. So I think it's something that's why I at the beginning I brought up Freud and what he says about there's different constitutions for people. And that's why you're not in a competition with Michael Jordan or Warren Buffett or Joel Salatin. What you have to do is what creates the twinkle in your eye, the tap dance effect for you? You know, one of the things I'll tell you, Ben, one of the new things that's been on my mind, I always kind of pick a new topic. Once a week, I pick a new person to study. That's kind of a pattern with me. I'll get interested in Julius Caesar or, you know, Andre Agassi or whatever. Just right now, I'm back on Michael Jordan for the last week I've been doing. Before that, I was doing some World War I veteran guys. And then I also pick a concept. Like, I'm glad you're doing this. You got this concept of you're rolling around in your head. What's going to make me, Ben, find that balance between overambitious and underambitious. Right. And I think the thing, this new concept for me, what's really been mulling over my head is the concept of what Socrates and the great philosopher said back thousands of years ago. They talked about the Oracle of Delphi. It was a place you went to get wisdom. And the Oracle started by saying, know thyself. And I'm at a place right now where everything I'm focused on for myself and other people is how can you figure out yourself more? I'm telling you, if you can crack that nut, if you can get to the bottom of that one, you are light years ahead. And I think, you know, that's what attracted to me to some of the stuff you talk about in your book. It's like you have to figure out your body. And there's people with a body that's completely different. This inheritance book we talked about last time with Dr. Sharon Molam, talking about how DNA, some people, if they eat fruit, they're fructose intolerant, one piece of fruit would have them drop over dead. So when you give blanket things like, oh, not you, but when the USDA says, oh, everybody should eat fruit. Well, what if a fructose intolerant person is reading it? They're dead. So what you have to do is find that health combination that works for you. And there's probably some universals, like McDonald's food universally is bad for everybody.
Right.
But there's nobody that's getting healthier eating McDonald's. So we can put that in the universal truth, so to speak, category. But then all the other stuff's up for grabs. Some people, and that's what Dr. Sean Mullen says, that the day will come when some people are like, do not drink coffee. And some people are like, drink 5 cups of bulletproof coffee or, you know, whatever it is. And so when it comes to this ambition question, health, wealth, love, and happiness, you got to find your one. And so I recommend, I don't know if you've done this, Ben, but there's a link you could put in your show notes to a test at humanmetrics.com. There's an exact link, but it's at humanmetrics for your Myers-Briggs, where you get the letters like I'm an ENTP.
Yeah, I've done the Myers-Briggs. Hey, it's Ben Greenfield, and I want to interrupt you real quick to ask you about Movember. I don't know if you are aware, but the month of Movember is actually now upon us, and you may yourself personally be planning on growing some kind of an epic handlebar mustache. And this is where Harry's.com fits in.
Harry's is the official razor partner of Movember, and Harry's will be there for you for the entire Harry month. Whether or not you grow your own mo with Harry's, you can get an amazing shave, and you can do good by supporting Movember's quest to fund research on important men's health issues. So what's the deal with Harry's? Well, basically, I've got a Harry's blade in my bathroom, and this thing stands out from any of the other shaving blades that I have. It was made in Germany, where Harry's actually bought a blade factory, and that factory in Germany has been crafting some of the world's highest quality blades for almost a century. But these blades aren't expensive, because by cutting out the middle man, Harry's offers you an amazing shave at a fraction of the price of drugstore brands. And you can go to harrys.com now, and they'll give you $5 off their shaving equipment if you just use the code BEN with your first purchase. That's harrys.com, and use the code BEN. And by the way, they also just released their brand new aftershave moisturizer, which is going to make you feel like you're 10 years younger if you smear that stuff on after you shave. And shipping, of course, is free, while satisfaction is guaranteed. So check it all out. Change the way that you shave forever and head over to harrys.com using $5 discount code BEN. Now back to the show with Ty.
It's a tragedy of education that we have not, you and I, haven't spent 100 hours of our life doing personality tests while before we even hit 18. It's a tragedy. People, you know, lament the education system, and a lot of it is lamentable, but I'm like, imagine if you and I, when we had all the free time at our disposal, if we had sat down and taken every Myers-Briggs test, every, you know, choleric, sanguine, melancholy personality test, if we had taken career aptitude tests, what could be better than doubling down, investing in your own brain, and understanding yourself, and then moving forward? Like, that's the problem with college. It's not college. There's nothing wrong with going to college. There's something wrong with going to anything where you spend 4 years and $100,000 with no focus. If you know, hey, I want to be a brain surgeon, well, my advice is go to medical school, because you're going to go to jail if you try to be a brain surgeon without that. And university works pretty well at putting out good brain surgeons. But if your focus is marketing, you know, there's millions of marketing majors. I'm like, well, you may be better off doing some other stuff, interning with Ogilvy or this, that, or the other thing. And so, again, the question of university, the question that you brought up at the beginning about how ambitious should I be? Well, some people are machines, and you want them to, some Leonardo da Vinci's. The advice for Leonardo da Vinci that would is best for him and society would not be, oh, you need to, you know, spend more time twiddling your thumbs and getting in touch with yourself. No, you were built to create ideas and come up with innovation. Stephen Hawking, man, sure, you need to spend time with your family. And he does, believe it or not. Stephen Hawking has kids and been, you know, wife. But Stephen Hawking is a man built to innovate and see things that you and I don't have the aptitude for. So that's why I said, you know yourself. As my third mentor, a guy named Mike from Ireland, told me, he said, Ty, it's horses for courses. You, meaning you got to put the right racehorse on the appropriate race course. So that's why I said the real answer for you, and I know I've gone long in naming all these things, but you're going to have to use the next month, maybe till we talk, to just hone in more and more. It's like, and you're a very in touch with yourself, you know, knowing yourself kind of person, especially physically with all the training and things that you do there. But take it further. Take the sculpture and refine the sculpture even more down, and you start with knowing yourself more. Take some of those tests again. What's wrong if somebody came to me and said, okay, I've got 50,000 good hours in my life, which is probably what you have in your prime, maybe more, depending on how healthy you are. Okay, 50,000 hours. If I would say, well, put 100 of those into knowing your own strengths and weaknesses. That would sound reasonable. Out of 50,000, put 100 into investigation of yourself before you proceed. But yet, myself, you, the world we live in, people haven't spent more. They go to their grave not having spent more than 2 or 3 hours taking tests, aptitude tests, personality tests, interacting with people who know how to read. It's a tragedy, man.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So the Myers-Briggs is the one that you recommend kind of starting with.
And then Just start there?
You're also developing this other one, this PACE
test. I have that. Yep. And just keep going. Just Google and go beyond just personality tests. Do career tests. Do love tests. There's, you know, that book, The Five Love Languages. It's kind of a cheesy sounding book, but that's another form. Now, one thing people get off, this is back to the medieval black and white mind. They go, well, Ty, I don't believe in the Myers-Briggs. Well, first of all, who cares what people believe? What if I believe the world's flat? Doesn't make it flat. People are too in love with their beliefs. I'm like, experiment, try, go out there. What's the downside? If you take the Myers-Briggs test or if you take the five love languages test, if you take, there's a new one, it's called Strength Finder. It's a lot of new scientists putting in. You take those tests. Who cares if you don't, if the results seem to be stupid, then just dump it out of your mind and move on to more. The end of the day, though, and like you show people with your body, take tests, swab your, you know, you were going through with me, you know, you mentor me and showing me telling me the test that I should take, whether it be, you know, lactose intolerance test, whether it be, you know, the saliva swab stuff or the stool sample, all those different parasite, all that stuff, that's more testing. And the more you know about yourself, the more clearly you move forward.
Yeah, and it's really interesting how we get a lot of people who are into self-quantification, and I was actually just down there in your neck of the woods at the biohacking conference, so it's all fresh in my mind, right? All the different apps and self-quantification wearables that we have available to us. Yet I think that a lot of the type of people that listen to my podcast, at least I know, and a lot of them are these self-quantification biohacker types. I don't think a lot of them, and I know I'm not personally, are doing many of these tests to find out more about just themselves and their personality as much as their skin temp, heart rate variability, perspiration, et cetera. So that's interesting. And I've never really, you know, I've taken the Myers-Briggs, but I haven't gotten too carried away or infatuated with personality tests. So I think maybe just based on your recommendation, I might go in and take it again just to refresh myself. I've got it pulled up on my computer now anyways, just so I can put the link in the show notes for folks. So Myers-Briggs, and then for the PACE test that Ty is talking about, if you're listening in, I'm sure that Ty can shoot me over the link to that, and I'll put it in there for you guys too. Ty, we're kind of...
And also, don't forget, so try to do all four pillars. So for you, and you know, the health... you know, you're teaching on health, you have your set of tests. So for wealth, you can do the Myers-Briggs. There's also something called Strength Finder. I'm not sure. I'll try to find the links. It's a book and a series of books by a lot of some psychologists and some guys in MBA programs, some of the top guys. So look at that one, because that's a test about your career and wealth. And there's also a component of Myers-Briggs that helps you with that. So Myers-Briggs is you know, kind of an overarching one, but take a specific one for your career aptitude, because you may not have to quit your career, okay, but you might make a small adjustment based on the findings that you get. Thirdly, when it comes to love, a good simple one is take that, read that book, and I'm not sure if it's an exact test, but read the one, The Five Love Languages. That one's great at showing you why a lot of people who are married or dating or not dating have issues, because they're speaking, there's five love languages. I think I can't remember all of them, but there's, you know, gifts, time, acts of service, touch, and words of affection. I think that's all five. So, you can, by finding out what you are and what the person you're dating is, you can move forward and perfect the sculpture. It's not a lottery. Life's not a lottery ticket. Most people are waiting for the lottery. Oh, magically, I'll meet the love of my life. Magically, I'll come up with one business idea that makes me the next Mark Zuckerberg. Magically, you know, I'll find one diet and in 7 days, I am in shape. No, all of that is, and same with happiness. Oh, magically, I'll just come to a place where all of life is good and I'm happy. It's all a bunch of bunk. It's the refinement of the sculpture. And then it's not one moment. It's not one lottery ticket you scratch off. And now I'm perfectly healthy. You've been doing this health thing for, you know, a decade plus. And it's the same thing. You do that with your career and you get a sculpture. And then the last one on happiness, you find, and that's where the Myers-Briggs one is pretty good. And there's some other ones where you can find that happiness kind of test. In the 67 Steps, I give you that book, Peter Drucker's book, Managing Oneself, a very short book. And he talks about knowing yourself too. And he has some tests in there. So what I'm basically saying, Ben, for you and anyone listening, and definitely for myself, preaching to myself, continually take every test that you can bump into. Dr. David Buss, the famous evolutionary psychologist and my friend, he told me once, he got his PhD in these type of tests and he developed his own. He said he can tell in 4 minutes of sitting in a room with a couple if they're going to get divorced or not. So he says, I could have helped them either not get married to start with or adjust their personality. So become a test hungry person. Aptitude tests, health, body tests. The more the merrier. Some of them will be not very valid for you. Just cast them off and keep going, taking more. The concept is right.
Cool. Well, folks, if you're listening in, last time that Ty came on the show, he actually recommended several books. And I gave a challenge to those of you listening in to read each of the books that he talked about in that show. And it was The Shallows, What the Internet is Doing to Our Brains, Inheritance, How Our Genes Change Our Lives, and The One Thing, The Surprising and Simple Truth Behind Extraordinary Results. And I told you that if you shot a photo of you holding all three of those books, hard copy formats, in your hands, and you sent that photo to me on Facebook or Twitter, I'd send you a signed copy of my book. I'll do the same just to drive those of you listening to action. I'll do the same this time around because I sent out a lot of books in the last podcast. But if you read The Snowball, Warren Buffett and the Business of Life, if you read A Few Lessons for Investors and Managers from Warren Buffett, and if you read The Five Love Languages, and we'll say that if you wanted to, you could even throw one of Joel Salatin's books in there as well.
And throw that strength, one of those Strength Finder books. There's like Strength Finder 2.0.
In any one of those of those books, a book by Joel Salatin, The Five Love Languages, Strength Finder. I'll put them all in the show notes. I'll make this easy for you guys. Just go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/tie2. Anyways, upload a photo to my Facebook page or tweet me a photo of you holding each of those books, and this will just be a trust relationship between Ty and I and you guys listening in, that you actually read the books and you're not just holding them at the lobby of the library. Then I'll send you a signed copy of Beyond Training. So do that, and also be sure to check out Ty's online video series, The 67 Steps to Getting Anything You Want Out of Life, Health, Wealth, Love, and Happiness. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/tie2 also. That's T-A-I, the number 2. So you can also leave your comments below the show notes for this post if you have your own thoughts about how to strike the ideal balance between being overambitious and underambitious, and how to know when you're actually making enough money and also focusing enough on life, love, and happiness. So head over there to the show notes if you want to get in on that discussion. So Ty, any last words? Sounds like you're on death row. and anything else you have to say for this podcast?
I would say the takeaway that I'm going to work on the next month, hopefully other you and other people, were, let's go the next time we talk 30 days from now or whenever it is. Let's have some insight. I'm going to try to have new insight on myself, things that I learned from aptitude tests, books, things, whether it be on health, wealth, love, and happiness. Maybe let's focus on some, since the question, you know, of the call today was about business ambition. Let's maybe get some insight from that book, Strength Finder, on our career. You know, are we a Stephen Hawking? Are we a Bezos here to get massive things done? Or are we here to strike a nice balance where we're financially independent? I think we can get some insight just from some of this career testing, aptitude, looking inward kind of thing.
All right, sweet. Well, I'm adding that now to my task list for the next 30 days as I'm ordering that book now off Amazon, and I'll have that test done by the next time we talk, and hopefully we'll have some more information for our listeners. And yes. If you're listening,
I think there's a 2.1 version. There's a newer one. Yeah, look for the Strength Finder. I think both of them.
So whatever the newest Strength Finder book is on Amazon.
Yep.
Okay, cool. I'll hunt it down and put a link for everybody listening in. All right. Well, cool. Thanks, Ty.
Thank you, Ben. Always great talking to you, man.
All right, folks. This is Ben Greenfield and Ty Lopez signing out from bengreenfieldfitness.com/Ty2. Thanks for listening.
Visit bengreenfieldfitness.com for even more cutting-edge fitness, nutrition, and performance advice.